Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. Over to you, Bobby.
2:54 left, second quarter. Saints lead 21-13. Second and 10 at the Dallas 13. Carr under center. Handoff Kamara left side. Look at all the room. 5-yard line. First down. Did he get in the end zone? Touchdown, Saints.
Oh, baby. Is the running game back? It certainly was for Alvin Kamara and the New Orleans Saints. Yesterday, as the Cowboys got their asses kicked 44-19 at AT&T Stadium. And we just got some breaking news about the running game across the NFL. Isaac Pacheco heading to IR is what ESPN was saying up there, Sean.
Yep.
So Pacheco is out now.
Which
they're
IR?
Gonna have to go find, they're going to have to go find another, nobody running back to rush for 5 yards of carry for him and cover over all manner of sins when Patrick Mahomes plays as bad as he did yesterday. So that's what you got there. All right, so we talked about, and this is Below the Belt, sponsored by A Number One Air, so thank you to them. We talked last week about the idea of, is the running game making a little bit of a comeback? And how passing attacks have not been nearly as prolific in some of the recent data sets as we've seen over the last 10 to 15 years. In week one, we had just two guys that went for 300 passing yards, and that was the fewest in a week one since 2005. So we're talking about basically a 20-year low. If you look at the TNF game and then the slate of games that have been played already, there were three players. There's just one Monday night game left to play. There were three quarterbacks that threw for over 300 yards on Sunday. So again, way down. One of those guys who threw for 300 yards was Jared Goff, who went for 304 on 55 pass attempts, which is not efficient at all. Not at all able to do that.
Ice his arm, man. Jeez.
So running has been the main avenue of success for a lot of the teams that have won early on this season. So there were three teams that averaged 140 yards rushing per game last season. During this week two slate already with one game left, 10 teams went for over 140 yards. Some of the numbers were like ridiculously off the charts. Chargers rushed for 219. Saints were 190. Packers got 261. Washington had 215. In fact, through 2 weeks of the season, there have been NFL teams, there have been four performances of 300 net pass yards or more. So one of those 300-yard passing games had a sack in there that brought their net passing yards below 300. There have been five games of 200 rushing yards. So teams now are starting to run at a like ridiculously prolific level. We're on pace right now for 63 games of 185 rushing yards from NFL teams. Last year, there were 42.
Mm. Wow. Good. I'm happy about it. I know it makes RJ sick, but kind of like when you get big reversals in trends. I don't know if this is an actual trend, but the league did everything they could to screw over defenses. And really to go away from run games. And it's not good for the Cowboys because it's their weakness and has been their weakness, but the league keeping it alive for the first 2 weeks.
You have me pegged wrong here, sir. It does not make me sick. I am all about efficiency. That's all I care about.
Oh.
And if the efficiency of the running game has changed and improved, then I have no problem taking a look at that. It's still boring to me, and the only thing it'll do for me is it'll just cause me not to watch. Mm. But other than that, yeah, it's all about efficiency.
No, and I mean, this is where like you're seeing teams. It's not just like we talked about yesterday with New Orleans. Alvin Kamara's longest run was 15 yards. It's not like he broke a 40-yarder in there, did anything else. This is like teams are having a lot of success just methodically moving the ball five, six, seven, 8 yards at a time running the ball. Last year, it was actually the Ravens led the NFL in rushing at 156 yards per game. That was the absolute top of the level in the NFL, was 156 yards. If you look at these first couple weeks of the season, the NFL teams are going way over that consistently. There have already been 14 games of 156 rushing yards.
Maybe it's, you know, no physicality in training camps and off season hurting run defenses. I don't know. Discussion for another day. But it's hard to, you know, completely judge the Cowboys run game yesterday because they were getting their ass kicked and destroyed and embarrassed and humiliated and emasculated and all the above. But they ran for 68 total yards. Zeke had 6 for 16. Rico, I thought, got off to a decent start. Mm-hmm. He had 7 for 30. But Deuce Vaughn, I want to talk about Deuce Vaughn. 4 carries, 11 yards, 2.8 with the average. His longest run was 4 yards. Week 1 against Cleveland, 1 carry for 4 yards. You had heard Jerry Jones in an interview, Bobby, that you kind of took note of. I think it was on this station. Bring up Deuce's name, and you had said, I think they might want to they might be trying to force Deuce Vaughn involvement this year. And at no time in the regular season can I ever remember Deuce's abilities getting loose. He had the epic preseason last year. And I am just like automatically thinking when a running back doesn't break any, he's not getting any holes. But is there something to Deuce's like vision or his game? And yesterday I tweeted and I asked, is Deuce Vaughn just not good? Because he never breaks free for anything. And I got 132 comments back to me on X. Here's some of them. I think he's not suited to the league. Too small. Our offensive line also is not good enough. Leaning towards O-line, not making lanes. You can't get in a rhythm being constantly pulled after one play. That man, from Tolo Matthew.
That's a big one for me. There's the amount. I think the three-headed monster is too much. They need to shrink it down to two, because you can't get into a rhythm. Now, maybe there's no rhythm to get into because these guys' rhythm isn't any good because they're not very good as a whole. But you know, there is two things you could hit the hole. Like you could be given a hole by an offensive line, but you hit it too fast, right before it opens up, or you hit it too late.
Yeah,
because you're slow. But like there is such a thing as being too quick to the line of scrimmage. I don't know if that's the case. I haven't studied it enough, but you know, for 4 carries, like just that's a sample size that just isn't there.
Tolo David, he's just too small, can't break a tackle. Nice story, but just not an NFL player. Another Tolo, enough with the story. Bring up Dalvin. Dude, he's 4 foot tall. WTF do you want him to do? What are you seeing? What are you hearing, Bobby?
So I think yesterday was confusing to me. I don't know why Zeke was getting all the like runs to the perimeter. Zeke was getting runs to the perimeter. The couple carries that Deuce got, everything was inside.
Yeah,
which was a little odd to me.
Total opposite.
Yeah, they were doing some stuff on offense yesterday that I didn't I've not seen them do, and I don't know why they were. I don't know if it's just hey, we got to figure out some way to kind of combat this and respond to you know what defenses are doing to us physically. I don't know if it was just some sort of change up trying to you know throw curveballs, but Deuce, getting into a rhythm, that's important. Everything else. There was one run there, I think it was his second carry of the game, where he had a lane and he ran into like the offensive lineman blocking somebody where it was just, I don't know what he saw or why he wasn't able to jump cut quickly enough to get out, you know, get to the hole, but he runs into the offensive lineman, gets wrapped up. His big problem has always been as soon as a defender gets hands on him, they're concerned that he's not going to be
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole. Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple.
For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Able to break that. But he's going to go down. They're not going to get any yards after contact. He's got to be in space. He's got to be. I mean, we would think it's nuts if you're handing off stuff to Turpin to then run in the interior.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
Christopher Smith said that they're running him in the middle, not trying to get him in space. Seems like they should be doing the opposite.
They got to use him like more like Turpin than they would if he was running back.
I think it's also important to remember he was a sixth round pick.
Yeah.
Like he's a sixth round running back.
Pacheco was a seventh.
Right, yeah, but I mean, I think that, you know, you're talking about
one seventh round good player doesn't mean it applies. Yeah, right. You're a sixth and a seventh round pick for a reason.
Right, but like
98% of the time.
We don't see the great running backs today aren't like first rounders anymore.
I know, I'm saying I think we're surprised when a sixth rounder is really good. We're not surprised when a sixth rounder isn't Isaiah Pacheco. Like to me, that's kind of reasonable expectation. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people felt like Deuce would have been I think talking to most evaluators, the idea was if he were 4 inches taller, he would have been a second, third round pick, probably. But he still had long speed questions. He was not like a big long speed guy. He's an agile, like joystick type of runner. And you talking about this made me remember. I was like, let me go reach out. I know we did a segment right after the draft last year where the segment, it had come up the question of, was Deuce Vaughn a charity pick? Like, did the Cowboys pick somebody who nobody else would have picked? And so I wanted to jump back and look, and I was like, I asked people outside of Dallas, what did they think of him and if it was a charity selection? And I got three replies back. One personnel guy said, definitely not a charity selection, change of pace back with vision, athleticism, and a solid pass catching skill. He went in the right range. Another guy said, had him in the fifth round. He's got incredible change of direction, quick mental processing, zero fear running inside, incredibly tough. Plus pass catcher, the size limits how much you can have him on the field, though. Sometimes a bit too eager to bounce it outside instead of letting things develop in front of him. And then the most negative review said he was late day three for me. Had some backs I liked more that didn't get drafted. Love the elusiveness, but size and athletic limitations are just too significant for him to contribute in a meaningful way. Not for us, but went around later than I thought he would. So that last review sounds like the player we've seen.
He averaged 6.5 yards per carry his last 2 years of college. And that includes 50 catches and 40 catches in those 2 years for 9 and 9.5 yards per reception. He was a draftable player. And if he was a charity case, you know, that's
not wasn't. Great.
He wasn't. But, like, I mean, he wouldn't be the first. Mike Piazza was. He went to the Hall of Fame. He was 64th round or whatever. Like, it happens.
I think he has I'm not ready to just completely write him off. I think there's a way that he can contribute because some of the elusiveness is really impressive. He is very quick. He's very agile. You got to use him in the right way, though.
Yeah.
However that is, and I know Brian Schottenheimer was working on, we talked about it at the end of last season. He's like, hey, I want you to start running some routes. Work with Brandon Cooks. I want you to start learning how to contribute in doing some stuff maybe from the slot. Find different ways to use him. That's fine. But, man, the way it can't be is not, let's have Zeke with his 4.7 speed at, you know, 29 years old, run everything outside, and let's try to put Deuce on the interior. I don't know what was going on there. I think that he can be a contributor. He's never going to be a full-time back because there are just natural limitations there.
So if Dak calls the plays, is that Dak's fault for running him inside?
I mean, I'd like that's not a ha-ha thing. I said today, I think Dak is largely responsible for a lot of what happened yesterday. I think Dak was in control of the offense, and I don't think it was particularly good. I don't think they were in plays consistently enough that were going to take advantage of what New Orleans had in front of them. It wasn't a good day for him, period. As somebody diagnosing things pre-snap or, you know, in terms of some of the reads that he had. Now, I think to the point about Dak throwing the interception, there were a lot of people crushing the second interception through, which it was an awful throw. To me, it's 11 minutes left in the fourth. You're down 20 points. That's the time to throw that to see if you can make something happen. To me, I don't care when you're down 20 if you make a stupid throw to try and get some of it back.
Me neither.
And so some of that criticism, I thought, was a little bit over the top. To the Dalvin Cook question, I do think we're getting close to being able to... There's our window washer.
Dang,
I do think we're getting close to seeing Dalvin Cook getting an opportunity to be active for these games.
I hope so.
I hope he's got the quickness. I hope he's good enough.
What? I don't care. It's better than it can't be worse than
they need
what
they to make
already
a trade. They need to make a trade. That's what they need to do. They need to go find somebody who a team has a surplus of running backs, and they need to make a value trade.
Well, the Chiefs might be on the phone with them right now.
Yeah,
and San Fran. I mean, San Fran doesn't need it, but
right. You know, San Fran's got their guy right
let
now.
Let Trey Lance run the ball for you. You know,
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on the Franco and Franco Injury Attorney text line on your home of the Cowboys. I got crushed yesterday by a lot of Twolos, not on Twitch, but on Twitter. Did the Cowboys really have the worst loss of the day? That's next on Sean and RJ. And then Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com at 920, right here, final hour on The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.